This episode is sponsored by The Bridge to Recovery, a nonprofit program on 115 acres near Bowling Green, Kentucky, a tranquil place where they've been changing lives for over 40 years. Their people improve their quality of life by acknowledging past emotional wounds and healing from all forms of trauma. The CEO, Paul Hamlin, has been a friend of mine for 20 years. Call him directly at 858-945-7848. That's 858-945-7848. Or you can learn more about The Bridge to Recovery by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting thebridgetorecovery.com. Thank you for listening to The Path to Authenticity. My name's Tom Gentry. I think of this show as the opposite of small talk. You'll hear real conversations with real people who know who they are. We talk about what makes them who they are, how they became who they are, and how we might become truer expressions of who we are.
I'm Denise Mustard, and this is The Path to Authenticity.
Gentry, thanks for listening to The Path to Authenticity. As I record this, there are nearly 2 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 on Earth. About 500,000 of those are here in the United States, and they're approaching 100,000 cases in the United Kingdom. This episode features a woman named Denise Mustard. She's an emotional acceptance coach. She was on an episode a while back. She reached out to me a week ago and asked about being on the podcast again, which I really appreciate. And so here she is. She's got some new stuff going on. She and her colleagues, in response to this pandemic, you know, all of us work-wise are having to adapt. Those of us who are lucky enough to continue to work in the midst of this shutdown. So anyway, we got into a lot of stuff and had a spirited conversation. So I hope you enjoy it. Denise Mustard. So, Denise, thanks for coming back. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. So, you know, the last time we talked was, what, about 6 months ago? And it was, I mean, it's like a different world compared to where we are today, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, it can feel like that. It can feel like that.
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty heavy stuff. And so, It is a great time to have you on the show with the work, the emotional acceptance work that you do. You know, one of the things that I think that I'm afraid could get lost on us and all the mania of this coronavirus stuff is that this is a really traumatic experience that we're all going through. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, we've all been displaced to a degree, right? How's this affected your work?
So, I mean, for a lot of people, I mean, for me personally, I've come to accept the situation, right? There's nothing. And I've actually come to accept the situation that this is what we need. The feelings that people are feeling right now, they've always had them, right? It's just compounded a lot more, right? So if you're talking people who are more susceptible to catch the coronavirus and die of it, well, they already had a fear of death. So this has just accelerated this feeling, right? Yeah. It's compounded at a million times. So there's people who are petrified about leaving the house and then completely anal about like getting their shopping, making sure everything's sterilized, all that sort of stuff. So it is basically just turn the dial up, essentially, what it has done. Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity to actually acknowledge these feelings and be okay with it and not feel them anymore. These are opportunities for us to not feel it anymore. So, I mean, I felt even like last week, one of my clients actually said to me that intuitively she was told or guided or whatever that there was going to be another two more viruses, that there was going to be no electricity and blah, blah, blah. And that really triggered me. And I was like, oh, my God, the end of the world. And I was like freaking out. But at the same time, I was laughing because it was in my body. I was feeling it. My mind was like, it's fine, right? It's going to be okay. So I was able to process that, and I'm not scared as I was. But that, I think that was one of the things, I guess, the sort of apocalyptic ending of the world. You know, you watch all these movies, and I guess they bring out the fear in us, right? Yeah. And so now, then to live it, it makes it even more like, well, it's real, right? So, but just because the situation is what it is, doesn't make those feelings valid, right? You can be in this situation and not have those feelings. Does that make sense?
Yeah, in the sense, to me, what that means is the feelings were already there within us. The current events are just bringing them forth.
Yeah.
So it's really not the magnitude of the feelings a lot of times that we're experiencing isn't about right now. It's about something historical.
Yeah, correct. So we don't need to feel that scared, but it's okay to feel whatever it is that you're feeling.
Well, I'll interrupt maybe it's not rational to feel that afraid, but when I interrupted because you said we don't need to feel that afraid. I mean, in a sense we don't, but we actually do need to feel it, which is what you're all about, right? We need to feel it and let it pass through us and get back to neutral.
Yeah. Right? No, exactly. Yeah. But the thing that we do at the moment is distract ourselves with more negative news. And I see actually, I mean, Facebook is the worst for it, right? Because you get sucked in anyway from scrolling. Mm-hmm. But like some I saw a news report about some animal cruelty, and the report or the interview was done 2015, and they were posting it that day. Mm-hmm. Like they don't need that. Like there is no need to post news like that at all.
Yeah,
like literally none at all. But it's almost like either the press, like the people that run these articles and produce these articles, are in that state of mind, or they just that is what people click on, right? They don't click on the positive stuff. They click on the negative stuff. And you can see the comments. It's like, oh, my God, blah, blah, blah. And they just, like, end up getting drawn into it. And I was just like, oh, well done for putting, like, 2015 article in 2020. Like, great journalism there. Way to make people feel good. Yeah. Like, I think people need to be more conscious. And I guess that is the whole point of feeling what you're feeling, right? Not just having a rant. Even if you are a journalist or whatever, it's not a way of letting it go. It's just a way of adding more fuel to the fire.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially if we, like, I have a little bit of a journalism background, so I can look at something and tell, you know, I know whether it's fake or not.
Mm.
I know what, I mean, just the fact that it was 2015 article, by definition, it's not news. News is new, you know, and, you know, it's really a setup. A lot of the stuff that happens on social media, and even at least here in the United States, one of the things that stands out to me as someone who earlier in life had a lot of journalism training, is at the bottom of the screen. And it doesn't matter what network it is, whether it's CNN or Fox or MSNBC, breaking news. It's always saying breaking news, and it's never news. It's always something they're repeating, or else, you know, when I was a kid, if there was breaking news, like the networks would interrupt whatever else was on TV. And like that happened when Ronald Reagan got shot. That's what breaking news meant. 9/11. That was breaking news. What the dumbass said today is not news. That is not news. I mean,
so true. It's so true. I used to work as a personal trainer, and one of the guys that was a PT there, he used to play rugby union.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one with the oval ball. I don't follow it. Anyway, he was with a client, and they were on like one of the machines. You know, like when you go to the gyms, they've got like the TV screen.
Right.
And exactly, it was like Sky News. It was running off. And he saw his name go out breaking news that he'd signed a contract. And he was like, have I? That is breaking news because I didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
But it was just hilarious. Like, so someone catches a lead on something and goes with it. And he had no idea about it. So, I mean, talk about fake news.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I guess what makes it relevant to this is that we got to really be careful about what we're letting into our consciousness. You know, because there's just so much garbage out there. And, you know, I wouldn't even call it a love-hate relationship with Facebook. I think I'd call it more of a sort of like hate, you know, because I don't love it. I mean, once in a while I'm happy with, you know, birthdays, it's nice. And, you know, I like that I can stay in contact with people from a long time ago, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But man, like, first of all of a sudden everybody has a platform. You know, we don't need everyone to have a platform. I mean, that doesn't help anything, I don't think, to go on political rants and all that stuff. I mean, it can be divisive, but also, I mean, I think one of the things that really needs to change is, you know, if it's social media, it should be regulated like media. I mean, there should be fairness and it should be truthful. And, you know, like people shouldn't be able to spew hate. People shouldn't be able to advertise falsely. It should be regulated the same way a newspaper is. At least that's the way it is in the United States. You know, there's an aspect of responsibility to it because information is power. And, you know, no matter what anybody says here in the United States, like, we had a foreign power, like, hijack Facebook and create a bunch of fake accounts and steer people to vote in a different direction. And that happened.
Yeah. I think the algorithms as well, they work against you, or you see what you would normally, like, they do stuff like that. I mean, you could have a text message conversation that you swap with your boyfriend and then end up getting adverts of like lonely hearts or you want to go on a date and all this sort of stuff. My friend told me that she had that like last week. Mm-hmm. So, it's all like they listen to what you're saying. But then, I don't know. There's no sort of like, I know what you're saying with the filter, but then I guess that kind of goes into the territory of, well, this is a big platform with lots of people on there. So how do you do that? Because you've got a lot of potential bullying going on. And and there's like a lot of people talking potentially a lot of shit.
Yeah. Well, and it's essentially an antitrust issue. I mean, because it's such big business and, you know, Facebook has a corner on the market. I mean, it's not like they're really competing with anyone.
But at the same time, it's important, like you said, if it's an NI issue, then it's so important that people like us are able to verbalize and express how we feel,
right,
so that we can be heard, right? So I guess it works in our advantage too.
Right, right. I mean, it's the good with the bad, because, like, I mean, I like having Instagram, and I like posting stuff, you know, and having a voice and being able to express myself and, you know, pick up bits and pieces from other people. And, you know, there are things that I really like about, but I just think, I don't know, you know, one of the things that I've been getting on myself about lately is I'm on my phone so much, you know, I'm just on my phone so much. And, it's that I could be doing something else with that time that would enrich my life more. And so, you know, I want to start disciplining myself to, you know, manage my time so that, you know, maybe I go on Facebook or Instagram or both two or three times a day. But what I end up doing is, like today, I posted a podcast episode with a bunch of trackable links and arranged for other people to share it. And, you know, it's important that this message gets out. And mm-hmm. So I'm all day keeping up with it. Like, I'm checking in every time I wonder how it's doing now. Wonder how many clicks I have now, that kind of thing. And that's, you know, that's really easy to do. Like, I posted a photo, an old photo of myself on Saturday night. And, you know, every so often I'm going back and seeing what this person or that person said. And it's designed to keep us hooked in. That's, you know, it is inherently addictive.
I definitely feel what you're saying. When I've, like, this last week, you know, we've been promoting our emotional fitness workouts. And so the commitment was to basically show up every day, do a live on different platforms and just get the message out. And ultimately, what I said to the rest of the team was, like, because there was a bit of resistance there, you know, I don't have enough to say, or I feel like it's too much, or, you know, the ego makes the excuses, right?
Right.
And I said, look, this isn't about what you have to say or whatever. This is about you showing up for you and allowing yourself to be seen, right?
Right.
Because there's an important message to be said, to be told. And currently, you know, like I said to you before we got on the call, just like the news feeds are filled up with negative or TikToks. So you don't really have a choice to actually inform yourself about how to deal with how you're feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And that is what people are needing right now. So, you know, you got to let go of the need for that validation and know that what your message is out there is truly to help and to support others. Mm-hmm. And just showing up for yourself and then, you know, with the good intention, is going to create traction that you want. So you just got to let that sort of, I guess, that need to be filled. But also, like, you know, when we're feeling down and lonely and we're looking for a distraction, Facebook offers that, right? So it takes away from how we're feeling. You know, we forget for half an hour, we lose track of time. Oh, now it's got time to go to bed. So,
right.
And a lot of people, you know, when I've spoken to them, they're like, yeah, I'm okay. But they're okay with being okay, right? Because there's almost like a valid reason to feel the way that they're feeling. And, you know, if the power of happiness is in your hands, it shouldn't matter what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ultimately the tool of emotional acceptance, is the power, it's the ability to change how you're feeling and not be your emotion. I feel sad as opposed to I am sad, right?
Right.
It's two different things. So, and I think a lot of people need to be made aware of this, and because it's so easy to get consumed with everything and just be like, oh my God, because, you know, it's not just a case of sitting at, like, well, you've got different layers of it, right? You've got the stress of either if you've got a family, you're trying to work from home and you've got to homeschool your children, then you've got that stress being with your partner for that, like, period of time that you would not normally, with essentially problems that you probably haven't dealt with or you should have dealt with long before, all coming to the surface. I mean, that's one layer. Then if you don't have that and you're by yourself, then you're faced with yourself and the loneliness and what that brings. Or you've got the fear of going out, the fear of your loved ones, their health, the situation escalating, the loss of feeling like the world is never going to be the same, and the loss of freedom, the loss of your rights being taken away. There's so much going on right now. To say you're okay is just BS, right? So, yeah, it's you're talking about, like, there's people with the 5G conspiracy theories and stuff who are burning down masks. Those people are scared as well, right? That's why they're doing it.
Right.
That is not a normal thing to do, right? Mm. You might believe that 5G isn't good for your health, right? I don't think that's going to be good for your health. But to go down and burn it down, it just is moronic. It is not logical for anyone to carry these feelings around. It does not serve any purpose whatsoever.
No.
So, yeah. And so what we offer at Team EA is a chance to work these emotions out. So we are creating emotional workouts so that you can come into a class with a certain feeling and allow those emotions to work their way out. And I kind of describe it as a balloon. You know, when you blow up a balloon and you blow up with air and you hold the tip of it, you don't tie a knot in it. And you let that balloon go and it will go round the room until it lands down. And so that is, you know, almost essentially like a layer of emotion taken off right there. And that's how you let them go. It's creating awareness to the sensations in the body. And it's to be okay with whatever it is that's coming up and just let yourself be triggered, let it come up, and then it will pass. Like anything, right? You're not going to feel like this forever.
Right.
So it's a good time once it's like come up to just let it go. So, and we're also, it's free. I don't know if you had a look. The sessions that we're offering is daily and free.
No. So, and you'll provide me with links so that I can share it with this episode.
Yeah.
Good.
Basically, people can come in every day and let go of one emotion and just process everything one day at a time. Do something positive. You know, if you eat healthily, you exercise, you need to have be healthy, emotionally fit, emotionally healthy. Otherwise, your cup is going to be full.
So what are things like over in the UK?
I went shopping today and I got to clean my trolley before I went in, and there was a queue on the way out, so it's like one in, one out. You see people, some with masks. I was wearing gloves before, and then I saw a doctor saying that if you touch this, then the gloves, then the germ stick to that, then it sticks to that, then it sticks to that. Right. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm not even going to bother. I'm just going to wash. So just take my hand sanitizer with me and sanitize my hand before, sanitize it afterwards. And, yeah, I'm not too, you know, like if it's that contagious, I'm going to get it, right? So, you know, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. I'd rather, you know, I've accepted that, so that's not a problem. And I know people who've had it and stuff, so I feel safe. I don't feel like I'm just abiding by the rules because I'm not an idiot. So
and you know, I feel safe for the most part. I mean, I feel a little panicky sometimes. you know, but for the most part, this is survival. So, and people are dying, you know?
But people, like, the thing is, right, people are dying anyway, right? It's just that we know about it. So that makes it worse because there's a tally. But if you actually look at how many people are dying every day anyway, like, I think the stat in China, 250,000 people die each week in China before the virus, right?
Right.
So lots of people die. It's part of life, right?
Right.
And that, I mean, I've kind of accepted that fact that that's part of life. I don't feel like I'm going to die anytime soon. Like some people have like a lot of like their health is their like main trigger and worry. Like that's never been an issue for me. I always knew, but for some it's not, right? But for me, I guess the end of the world was a big trigger, right? That's what I've processed the last few weeks. Not rational at all. But I remember having, so when I told you about my client telling me about, you know, there being another virus, blah, 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 that just reminded me of this dream I had where I saw an atomic bomb like go off in my house in Edinburgh. And then it was like a flash of light. And then I just woke up and I was just like, shit. So that reminded me of that. And I was I kind of freaked out, but I processed and I was fine because my rational mind was laughing because it was so stupid, but I could feel the fear in my body. So I kind of totally forgot what I was saying. Just gone off on one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's just an insane time. I mean, it just emotionally charged. In so many different ways.
Yeah.
You know, there's fear, there's anger. You know, it's just a lot of yuck. But I do think
the world was always like that before. It's just now it's amplified, right? One in four people are depressed. So nobody was happy before.
Right.
It's just
now
we know about it.
Well, and like
nothing has really changed. It's just like I said to you, the dial has just been turned up and now we can see who it is.
Yeah. It's all magnified. And you know, I really do think from a spiritual standpoint, this is a cleansing that's taking place because there does need to be like a sea change in terms of consciousness and our priorities, at least in this country. I mean, you know, one of the things that drives me crazy about all this is that there's so much focus on business and the economy and jobs. And I get it. I mean, people need to have a livelihood. But, you know, we've also structured this society in a way that, you know, everything centers around work.
Yeah. And then do you not find it funny that, like, they can just pull the plug on work and be like, oh, we'll give you money. Like, it's just none of it matters, right? When we worry about money, it doesn't actually matter. It doesn't create happiness. But where people are struggling now is those fears of money. And now, like, they have to face it, right? There's certain people that maybe are doing jobs that they shouldn't have done. And now their job is on the line and money, like, the money situation. So they really are called into, like, making decisions and creating something new. But they're not going to create something new when they are feeling all these feelings, right? So this is like an opportunity for these people. Like, I feel like, you know, like you said, it is like, is a shift. It's like spiritually and emotionally, people need to be awoken.
Well, and I've talked about this in a couple other episodes, including the one that came out today, that in my day job, you know, behavioral health care, addiction treatment, We've had to really do things differently. And in some ways, it has made us as an industry adapt in ways that we've resisted for a long time. And like using Zoom and apps like that to do meetings remotely. And, you know, it's forcing us to grow.
Well, yeah, no, that's good because, like, for me, like, I've always done, like, everything remotely, right? So nothing, literally nothing has changed. And it's funny because when I was doing the personal training, I was doing online, and now every single personal trainer, every single fitness person, everyone's doing online. And it's like, and they used to say to me, oh, how do you do it online? Or how does it work? Blah, blah, blah. You make it work when you have to, right?
Right,
you can deliver a service. If anything, like having somebody, especially, you know, coming from that point, you know, when you are, it's a one-to-one basis, having someone in the comfort of their own home where they don't have to travel, they don't have to, you know, they can have a private moment before or after.
Yeah, there are benefits.
Valuable, right?
There are benefits, definitely. Yeah, but I think it's kind of that way. It's I think it's going to have that effect on all of us in certain ways and in all industries, at least to some degree. And, you know, we need to do things differently. We do. We need to do things differently. And to me, you know, the big thing is we need to take better care of each other.
Yeah.
Not just emotionally, but physically, because, you know, I mean, so many people, you know, if you don't have a job that provides good health insurance, it is really expensive to get a health insurance policy here
that is of any consequence. What is happening then in the States? If you have the coronavirus, you've lost your job. How are you getting treated? Are you not?
I mean, that's part of what the government is working out with all the stimulus. And, you know, I mean, they're going to end up, taxpayers are going to end up paying for it anyway. Because, you know, you lose your job, you lose your insurance. It is, you can't go to a hospital and need treatment and not be treated. That's against the law for them to deny you treatment because you don't have insurance. They can't do that. So, I mean, you know, they can try to get you somewhere else. I mean, it's just crazy. It's everything is so upside down and backwards the way we do it. I mean, people,
you guys pay a lot of money on insurance.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, to get a private policy, it's really expensive every month, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And then you go to use it and it doesn't cover anything. You know,
yeah, so I mean, even like, and say, for example, in Turkey, right? Because my family are, both my parents are Turkish, even though I've got a Scottish accent. You could go to any hospital and walk in and pay like the equivalent of like £50, which is, I don't think, like $60 or something, and like get an MRI scan. Whereas here, it would cost like £300. And then when they do private better than the Americans. A lot of like the doctors and stuff, they either do it as well, or as you know, they've got the top hospitals in the world there. And it doesn't cost an arm and a leg to do it. So I don't understand the reasoning behind charging so much, given that we do it, and I think Italy as well, and I think they've got better system. We have the National Health Service, which has been underfunded for a long time, can still try and help people and do treatments and whatnot, and we don't have to put our hand in our pocket unless we really feel like we have to. But most of the time, even like people who have cancer treatment, they don't pay for it. If you want like more cosmetic, then you would go and pay for it. That's the sort of,
well, you said, you know, it doesn't make any sense. And it's right, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So the only thing that does make any sense is that it's really about profit and not about people.
Yeah.
You know, and working in healthcare almost my entire career in the United States, behavioral healthcare, so it's a little bit different. It's not like working in an emergency room or something, but, you know, you get a phone call for an admission. A person tells you they have a great policy that I already called my insurance provider. They told me you're covered, you know. Well, then they show up. We verify the insurance benefits. Yeah, you're covered. We're in network, but it'll only cover 3 days. You know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff. And then what happens is the provider has to justify any extension, and do the insurance industry requires all this documentation to support and basically, so insurance providers in the United States, their job is basically to not let people die, but pay out as little as they possibly can. It's just a racket to make money. It's yeah. not there to help people get better. That's not what it's for. It's to enrich people.
The insurance companies, though, they almost overservice. You're paying for stuff. Like, for example, I know my friend's sister-in-law, she lives in New York. When she gets pregnant, she had her first scan at like 4 weeks or something, right? And then goes every month. Mm-hmm. Whereas we would have our first scan for 12 weeks and then the next one, 20 months, and then that's it. We have two scans. Mm-hmm. So if you're basically getting over-serviced all the time, then when you actually need it, you don't have it, right?
They can't. Well, and a lot of it depends on your employer and how big your employer is, because if it's a company that has thousands of employees, then it has the buying power that they buy so many policies from Blue Cross Blue Shield or whoever it is, that then they have leverage to get the coverage that they want. Yeah. That's what it is. I mean, I work.
But then you want a doctor for everything though, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I worked for a big company when I was younger, in my 20s, and you know, I had a policy where I could get a massage every month.
Oh, really?
At a chiropractor, you know, I'd go to a chiropractor and they had a massage therapist every month that covered. I think I paid like $15 for a copay, you know, and then, you know, years later, it's like, man, I can't even go to the Urgimed without paying $140, even if I do have insurance. I mean, it's ridiculous. It is. The coverage that is provided, I mean, they go out of their way to make it confusing and make it difficult to get coverage. And, you know, and there are a lot of cases. John Grisham wrote a book about it. I can't remember the name of it, but they made a movie out of it too. But, you know, some of these insurance companies have had policies in place where the people taking these calls, they have to say no. That, you know, it's not legal anymore, but it used to be like, you had to go through three no's before you could ever get a yes for coverage. I mean, that's the kind of stuff they have done. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's something I get really worked up about because it's just so ridiculous. And to me, that's what worries me so much about this pandemic. It's, you know, we should be taking better care of each other. We're the wealthiest nation in the world. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to, you know, healthcare. We should all have access to good healthcare. There's no reason for it besides making somebody else wealthy and also keeping the poor poor.
Yeah, but I mean, it feels like that's more of a cultural thing, right? So, I mean, if everyone has the right to protect themselves, then they're scared of everyone, right?
Right.
And then the whole American dream is based on one person's dream, not everyone's dream, right? So then that is basically every man for themselves. Mm-hmm. So when you have a country built on every man for themselves, then you're going to have every insurance policy for that, like, you know, an individual insurance policy. So, and that's a cultural thing that's probably never going to change, right? So.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, would we have ever thought something like this would be happening? And, you know, the guy in the White House, I would have never thought that we'd have a guy like that in the White House. So who knows? I mean, we can't take anything for granted anymore, I don't think. I just, you know, as someone who has studied the Constitution a little bit, the United States Constitution, what worries me is that we're undermining that. I mean, the powers that be are undermining the Constitution. And, you know, if that, you know, the president swears an oath to the Constitution. That's how it works. You know, it's, that is, that is what this entire system is based upon. So if he's not like, listen, I mean, I could go, we have a president who was impeached. The only reason he wasn't convicted by the Senate is because they're all crooked. They basically said, we know he's guilty, but we don't think this is bad enough to take. He should not even be the president. He shouldn't. I mean, he shouldn't even be the president. And what worries me more than anything else is that we've become so desensitized to all this that, you know, I mean, it's we're like the cat with following the flashlight.
Yeah. But now you've got to think, right? There's the only thing you can do is to get people to wake up, right? Because he is there for a reason. Right. He is a reflection upon the country.
Absolutely.
Same as like Boris Johnson is, and the same as, wherever there is a bad leader. Mm-hmm. It is the president that you guys deserve, right? Without like being rude or disrespectful.
No, I hear you. We got it coming. No, and it goes back to what we're talking about from the beginning. It's fear.
Exactly.
Because, a lot of people here. Well, yeah. And a lot of people here are afraid what we have is going to get taken away from us. And so the Make America Great Again it's about don't take away from us what we have. Give us back what we had before. When the truth is, there's enough. There's enough for everybody.
Yeah. If you're coming from that space of scarcity, then it's never going to be enough, right? Which is why obesity is such a... Obesity rates are in the US, in the UK, in Australia. These are like wealthy, countries that have everything, yet don't have it enough, right? So there's a void that people are trying to fill with food, with money, with porn, with alcohol, like
with distractions.
Exactly. So
just like we were talking about before, and that's what it is. That's what it is. It's that, all of this consumer culture stuff, it's devoid of meaning. We can't buy our way into a connection with someone else. We can never buy enough to keep us from feeling what we need to feel.
We become passive in our lives, right?
Yeah.
Everything's so passive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just happens to everyone, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I lost my job. It happened to me. Oh, I don't have any money. It happened to me. Oh, I'm ill. Right. It's happened to me. Poor me. And nobody's taking responsibility for themselves anymore. And it's like, oh, well, and again, this is the whole suing culture as well. Nobody is owning their shit.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, for me, being a person in long-term recovery from alcoholism, my life has been based on principles for, most of my life. And all my people, that's how we live too. So my tribe of people, are the ones who will look at me and say, dude, you need to get off the pity pot. Like, what's your part in all this? I mean, and I have trained myself to ask myself those questions, like this whole thing. I gave myself a couple days to sit on the pity pot about, this kind of derailing some stuff that was going on in my life that I was really happy about. And I allowed myself to be depressed. Mm-hmm. And then I dusted my ass off a couple days later and kept going. And now it's a little bit of a roller coaster. It's ups and downs. I'm having feelings here and there, but, I'm just trying to work my way through it and talk to people and also allow myself to feel what I need to feel.
Exactly.
You know,
and I mean, you made a good point there. You know, you're having principles, but principles and having a focus, a lot of people don't have, right? And and if you're consumed by your emotions, then you've gotten, if you don't have those principles and focus, then where are you going, right?
Yeah, you're flying, you're just existing in the wind.
Yeah, so I think, is that amoeba, that like just the cell, like you're just there, you're alive, you're there, right? So yeah,
it's life is happening to you rather than you living life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, ultimately, even like going through a difficult thing like that in my life in my early 20s, I mean, ultimately it was a gift. It put me on the path to be the person who I am today, who I like. And it, to have the life that I have and all the people that I have in my life, and in some weird way, this whole COVID-19 thing will work out the same way. I know that it's going to be okay. That's my faith and my conviction and my principles that I know that. I know that. But for the people out there who don't know it's going to be okay, I mean, they got to be a mess right now.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think what we end up doing, at least here, is we, you know, people get distracted with politics or news or sports, which that's another, like, there, nobody has sports to be distracted with, or always going, or religion, or, and not even to mention addiction. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there are just so many different ways, but you know, these addictions, these maladaptive behaviors, or these distractions, I mean, they don't have anything to do with the behaviors themselves. It's the distraction. What am I trying not to feel? That's mm-hmm. what it is. And the answer invariably is fear's opposite. It's love. It's love. That's the love and kindness and support and connectedness. And, you know, that's what's really important.
It's true.
And that's what's going to get us through all this stuff.
Yeah. Ultimately, a lot of people, like, they might feel love, but it's either A, it's conditional, not unconditional.
Right.
B, they don't give themselves that love. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's where the problem starts, right? A lot of the time.
If you think about it, it's back to the scarcity thing. They're not being enough love. Like, I don't have the love that I need, or if I get this love, I might lose it, or, you know, I mean, it's all about not having enough, when the truth is there is enough. And that, if we love ourselves, we love other people in a better way. And we also attract more love, you know, and like, it's like this, at the end of each episode, I say, be nice. Like, that's how I end each episode. Mm-hmm. And, I just, like, that is a loving place in me that's saying that. And it's because I know that when I treat people with love, it grows. They respond. Even if they're assholes, they're not quite as bad as they were before in terms of the interactions. It still softens people up. It like throws that. Them off, if nothing else.
Kill them with kindness, right? They say.
But you know, so I just like decided a few years ago, I don't want to live in a world where people don't say hello to each other. I don't want to live in a world where people don't make eye contact with each other. I'm not going to do that. So when I'm in the elevator and I see somebody, I'm going to say hello, whether I know them or not. Mm-hmm. And we're passing in the hallway. You know, I'm not going to pretend like other people don't exist. I'm going to practice kindness. And that is loving. That's a way to give love that, and it does, it makes things better. It makes life better. And it softens our hearts too. It is. It does. Yeah.
It's true.
So, man, this has been a spirited discussion, hasn't it?
We've had our ups and our downs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of times I try not to get too deep into politics and this, but
it's hard not to right now.
It is really hard not to.
They are dictating a lot of stuff for us. And control, yeah, dictating, controlling, whatever you want to call it. So we have to find freedom from this. And I think that's important because as much as we're in the safety of our own home, the fact that we can't step out of our homes and live life as we want to could potentially, not saying it will, but it could potentially change the status quo. And because people are living in such fear, they will take that information as, well, they're doing it for the greater good. Mm. But, you know, when we're coming from that place, that somebody controlling our freedom is not from the greater good, right? So we should be able to make that conscious decision, you know, I don't want to do this because of X, Y, and Z, as opposed to being trapped in our houses or whatever the future holds for us, right?
Yeah.
We've got to surrender to it and make it, you know. I think expression is going to be important now. So as much as we don't like hearing what other people have to say, it's important that we have to say what we have to say in order to get the message out and to empower people and get them to the path to their authenticity, right?
Mm-hmm. And this is times like these is when creativity really deepens and big things happen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, definitely.
You know, if we can, the uncertainty is really scary. And if we can embrace it as mystery, you know, we don't know what good's going to come from this yet, but we can trust that it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's
just that we're programmed that uncertainty is a bad thing, right? But when you step into the unknown, when I was in a place where I was really stuck, I kept getting to the same point and I couldn't break free. It wasn't until I was in that uncertain place, that place of uncertainty, I was like, oh my God, yes, this feels different. I'm not in the same place anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And I actually celebrated that. So I was like, this conversation feels different. This business feels different. This plan feels different. I was like, oh, such a relief. Whereas because things are so uncertain with so many different things, obviously people are scared. But if they can accept that that's when, you know, like say creation happens, that's when you can now start to change what you've wanted to in the past and you haven't done, right? You've got the time to do it.
Right.
You've got the energy to do it. So this is the time where you should create. Like this is an opportunity and people need to see it as such.
Well, it's definitely happened with this podcast for me. I've had, you know, it's given me time to work on it and tighten things up and also just people are available to talk now in ways that they weren't before, like you. And I really appreciate you reaching out to me. You know, anytime you want to come on, we probably ought to try to steer away from politics. Next time, hopefully everything will be a little more calm. You know?
Well, maybe you can sign up to the fitness, emotional fitness membership, and then maybe you can talk about your experience or something.
Okay. I have some people who could really benefit from what you're doing, and it definitely made an impact on me, and it's just another tool in my toolbox, you know? And I think what's most significant about it to me is it helped me deepen my recognition of the physical aspect of, you know, we carry this stuff around in our bodies. We really do. And we deserve to feel better. We do. So, well, listen, you take care of yourself and your family over there in the midst of all this. Thanks for listening to The Path to Authenticity. If you'd like to learn more about our guest, you can find links in the show notes or visit our website at thepathtoauthenticity.com. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, if you have a suggestion for a topic, or you know someone who would make a great guest, email the show at thepathtoauthenticity@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. If you know someone else who would enjoy the show, or even just a particular episode, please share it with them. Every little bit helps. If you're not already a subscriber, please consider becoming one wherever it is you choose to listen. You can find the show on Patreon, where by becoming a patron, you can hear episodes before they're released publicly. You can gain access to supplemental content. There are other benefits in the various tiers. Visit patreon.com/thepathtoauthenticity. Join our Facebook community or follow the show on Instagram, both at The Path to Authenticity. We also have a YouTube channel. You can connect with us on Twitter or Pinterest. To hear the songs from this and every episode, you can find the Path to Authenticity playlist on Spotify. Obviously, there are a lot of ways you could be spending your time, so I appreciate you spending some of it here with me. I'm Tom Gentry. Thanks for listening. Be nice. The Path to Authenticity is powered by Equivox. For digital marketing and web design services, visit equivox.com.